Hello world, and welcome to TJSlideways.com Live, coming to you here from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And all of our guests tonight will be appearing on the Rocket Headers Hotline, and we do have a great show tonight. 2012 USAC National Sprint Car Champion and National Driver of the Year, Brian Clausen, will be joining us tonight. Also, we're going to have a couple of guests to help us break down the upcoming USAC Sprint Car race this weekend at the Lawrenceburg Speedway, and then we're going to review our weekend we spent at the Attica Raceway Park that unfortunately was shortened to one day over at Attica for the All-Star Circuit of Champions at the HD Spring Nationals. So we can take questions, comments, and also what other things you'd like to convey to us on several different manners. You can interact with us on our Facebook fan page, also on Twitter at TJ Slideways. You can also email us, TJ@TJSlideways.com. And we're going to kick off the show tonight with just the regular deal.
The latest dirt.
All the latest news around the open wheel world. So, I guess we cue up the wrong music. This is off to a great start. So, there we go. Getting ready for the latest dirt. Sammy Swindell, for the third year in a row, won the World of Outlaws program over at the Merced Speedway. Kyle Larson led early until having a tire go down, and then Swindell led the rest of the way. Darren Pittman continuing to lead the point standings by 86 markers over Paul McMahon. Also, some breaking news from today. Sean Miller reports that Bill Rose plans to return to the driver's seat on Saturday. Rose is actually going to drive a number 6R car, while they keep David Gravel in the primary number 6 car. And this could be an indicator that we could see Gravel continue to stay out on the World of Outlaw Trail. So Rose's team fielding 2 cars this week for the upcoming shows at Antioch Speedway. 2 more programs in California, and then also a program at Paris before they head back towards the Midwest. Blaney Brothers. How about those Blaney Brothers? Dale Blaney, of course, picking up the win at the HD Supply Spring Nationals at Attica Raceway Park. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, Dave Blaney picked up the feature win over at Port Royal Speedway for their season opener. Blazing fast racetrack there. Track records broken in the preliminaries. Unfortunately, a couple of nasty crashes. Greg Hodnett and Mark Cauldron getting banged up a little bit in a couple of really hard accidents over there. And I wish Cauldron the best. He definitely took a hard hit over there. And then Mark Smith won over at Sealance Grove. Jason Johnson scored the NCRA victory over at 81 Speedway. That was a high-paying show for the NCRA sprint car, so Jason Johnson landing that. How about Christopher Bell, Oklahoma driver? First non-wing sprint car start for Keith Koontz, wins the No Way Out 40 over at the Brownstown Speedway. So quite a start for that young man, highly touted. And we're going to get to see him in a few weeks when we go over to the Kokomo Midget Grand Prix, and we're looking forward to that. So a lot of really neat things going on. So that pretty much wraps up
the latest dirt.
And of course, we spent the weekend over at Attica Raceway Park, and want to thank Rex Lejeune and everyone over there at Attica for a great day we got to spend over there. Unfortunately, Mother Nature did not cooperate for Friday. If you remember, last week we were talking about all the snow on the ground in Ohio for that program, and how iffy it was going to be. And it was iffy right up until Friday. And, you know, Thursday and Friday, first it looked like they might be able to get both days in. Unfortunately, the ground did not dry in time for the Friday program. It was canceled. When we got there on Saturday, there was a lot of tape marking off a lot of parking places, and I'm not sure if they had to pull cars out or not. They were ready to have to pull out cars from the parking lot across the street if they had to, but there was a lot of complaining about Friday's program being canceled. A lot of people are not understanding why they didn't race, and it's like I brought up to someone else. If they wrecked the parking lot on Friday and can't race on Saturday, people would be complaining. Also, if the sun was shining on Saturday, it was cold, but it was nice out. This was actually a really nice day on Saturday. Had we had that nice day, they not raced, that's all we'd be hearing about all week was how Attica didn't race because the sun was out. So I think they made the right call. They went with one day. It did probably hurt the car count a little bit. I know the Casey Kane cars stayed home due to the weather. And also Dave Blaney rerouted to Pennsylvania, which worked out very well for him. And car count was a little bit down, but still is a quality field of cars. Also, it's weird not seeing David Gravel and Greg Wilson there at All-Star events. Wilson more so than Gravel. Wilson's been a fixture in the area for many years. Of course, he's been out with the World of Outlaws on the West Coast and is just kind of stuck out there for a little bit. So we'll have to see how long Wilson stays out on tour. Meanwhile, Gravel sits sixth in the World of Outlaw points right now. Doesn't have any kind of membership right now. It's not a platinum member or anything. But what a showing he's made in Bill Rose's car. And Rose's indicate he will be in the car for a few more weeks. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes, see how long that team can field a couple of cars, how long they keep Gravel in there, what Bill's going to do. And also when it comes right down to it, once the Outlaws start heading east, will we see Gravel in the family car go out there? I mean, there's still a lot of questions to be answered there. I think a lot of it's going to be based on Gravel's performance in the next few weeks. I mean, if he drops in the points, there's really no point in doing it. But if he stays up near the top five in points, it always seems to be a motivator. Once you're up near the top of the points, people seem to find a way to do things. And hopefully Gravel will end up being able to do that. And Christopher Bell, of course, we talked about him at Brownstown. Really looking forward to this upcoming Kokomo Midget Grand Prix because it's going to be a chance for us to see people like him. And as I said on the internet last week on our Twitter account, I don't remember the last time I went to a standalone midget show that was a major event. Even some of the Wolverine Midseason Nationals, the Neymar's Five Crown, Indiana Midget Week, all those things have sprint cars on the undercard. I don't go to Belleville, and you know, just usually doesn't work out for me work-wise to be able to get away to get over there. I haven't been to Angel Park yet, and that's still a bucket list, which is amazing as close as I live to it, just still haven't done it. And you know, I'm thinking of major midget races. I really haven't been to one in years that didn't have some sort of other card. Been to a few midget programs here and there that were regular shows. I think the biggest standalone midget race I've been to in the past 20 years probably would have been the last night at 6th, or last day, more appropriate as a day show, at the 16th Street Speedway. I mean, I've been to some big midget races, but they've all had sprint cars on the card. So the Kokomo Midget Grand Prix in a couple weeks, we're going to be there, both for Friday and Saturday's program. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, we haven't done a lot of midget coverage standalone. It'll be hopefully, you know, get a few more midget people interested in the site. We were involved with Neymar's in the early years. And, you know, it's just as midget racing's kind of fallen off around here, we kind of fell off following it so much, just picking up like Midget Week and a few places here and there. And you know, the Buckeye Nationals way back when. And, you know, we've sent Mudclawed Bob out to Indiana Midget Week, and we've had good reception there and stuff. So we're going to try this. We're going to see how it works. It'll also be our first Power Eye event we've ever covered in person. So, and we're looking to get Kenny Brown on the show in the next couple weeks to talk about that. So we're going to be geared up in the next couple weeks towards Indiana or the Kokomo Grand Prix, Indiana Midget Week, and a lot of other big midget shows we plan on covering here on TJSlideways.com. But once again, thanks to Rex Lejeune, everyone over there at Attica. We'll have more on the Attica program a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about some of the notes that we're putting together for our notes quest or our notes column for this week. And also, I want to talk about the 305 class there. We weren't able to stick around for the feature, but Alvin Roepke went the feature. If you look at that 305 class at Attica, there's like Alvin Roepke, John Ivey, Paul Weaver, Bobby Clark, and then you got a host of people like Dussel and other people that have been in that division for a while. That it might be easier to make a 410 feature at some of these 305 events by mid-season. It's just unbelievable the depth of talent in that 305 division. I was looking at the names rolling out, and Bobby Clark has like three or four race cars there this year. They've got a massive team there. They're fielding, and they've got kids from all over the place, drivers, and Ivy's in one of them. And I mean, it's pretty impressive to see that division grow up. And they're going to be one of the highlights of that 25th anniversary show coming up in Attica in May. The double features and the non-front wing 305s. And I'm still lobbying for backstretch restarts, which kind of, you know, let's put the cone on the back straightaway just the way it used to be when Attica opened, which segues to our poll question this week. If you feel car during single file restarts with a cone, should the lap cars be sent to the tail? We're going to ask our guest Brian Clausen about his feeling about that, and his, among other things, you know, that'll be pretty minor topping what we have to talk about with him. But you know, my theory on it is I don't mind single file restarts. I don't mind leaving the lap cars in, but when you have lap cars in that cone, it creates such an advantage for the leader, especially on the local level. You don't see it on the touring level as often, But on the local level, you see these guys in getting lap traffic. You could be lapping a guy for the third time, and that caution falls, and he's the middle car in three lap cars there between first and second place. And that second place car is, you know, on any other green flag lap, that guy's probably going to be out of the way. You'll go around the top of him, dispose of him in one corner. The way the cone is situated now, if you put it on the front straightaway, the leader picks up the throttle on turn four. That second place car is stuck behind two other guys in this car 3 seconds slower than him through a one lane, you know, space for about, you know, a quarter of the racetrack that allows the leader to build up a quarter track lead essentially before, you know, when the race restarts. And to me, it's too big of an advantage. So I think a couple of ways around this are the easy ones to send the lap cars around. And I understand, I'm a traditionalist too. I don't necessarily like it. But I like the cone trapping the cars behind the leader, behind some of this lap traffic that normally would be out of the way is not a better solution. And I don't think the double foul restarts are a solution either, because I think all that does is tear up equipment. You know, we're all smart enough to figure out some way, and it might be harder, the hardest thing might be policing it, is to figure out a way where the leader starts and everyone relatively starts at the same point, so some of these lap cars can get out of the way. And if you're a lap car and you're 3 seconds slower, be courteous and just get out of that way. If you're in a cone and you've been lapped for the third time, you're getting laps, just go with the tail. I know eventually you will have to take that spot, and you have to get the cojones and eventually take your spot there, and that's good, and I hope you do. But when you're that lap car that's being lapped for the third time, you're getting your laps, you're getting your experience. But if you've been lapped more than twice, just go the tail. Don't mess up the race for everybody else. And with the cone, you know, there, we need to figure out a way to make this better. And I think we can. I think there's a better way of doing it than the double file research. And I think there's a better way of doing it than the cone the way it is now. And I don't, what that is yet, I haven't figured out. I put a lot of thought into it today. Maybe you put the cone, like do a restart section like we do for the initial starts, and, you know, maybe, but the distance between where the, you know, you pick up the throttle and the cone, everyone goes by it. There has to be a little more leeway for those first few cars to be able to navigate those slower traffic and get to the leader. And yet that still gives the leader a little bit of an advantage. But when you start, when they're picking up the throttle on turn three, turn four area, you have a cone in the middle of the front stretch. It's just too much ground for the back of the pack to give it up. And we saw that evidenced at Attica. You know, I don't think Sheldon Honcho was going to catch Blaney after those restarts anyway. If there's no caution, Sheldon Honcho probably catches Dale Blaney, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, during those restarts, he was so far back, and some of the lap cars were quite a bit off the pace at that point. There's a lot of evil handling race cars there, you know, first night in the Hoosier tires for a lot of guys. He just fell back, and it just, there was no prayer of it even happening if he could have gotten up there. And, you know, I agree the leader deserves some sort of advantage there. You can't take the leader's whole advantage away, but at the same time, you can't penalize the second place guy for a spin that, you know, somewhere mid-pack happened, and now the second place guy's sitting there behind someone he's lapped twice. And this wasn't just the case on Saturday, but on the local level, you see this quite a bit. You're stuck behind a car you've lapped two or three times, and you're trying to catch the leader. I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't happen. So hopefully we can figure out something about this. I mean, we are in the entertainment business, and this is all about making the sport more accessible and more entertaining. And hopefully we can figure out something to make that happen. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Clausen. We'll talk Indy 500. We'll talk about USAC Sprint Car Racing and all of his plans for 2013. You're listening to TJSlideways.com live. Stay tuned.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oschwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OschweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePROParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And of course, All-Star Performance would like to congratulate Dale Blaney on his victory during the HD Supply Spring Nationals at Attica Raceway Park. Visit allstarperformance.com. And another driver that great sponsor of ours supports and also has quite a resume. He is your defending USAC National Sprint Car Champion, National Driver of the Year. We are proud to welcome Brian Clausen to the show. Brian, thanks for taking time out. I know you've got a really busy schedule. I'm glad you're able to join us tonight.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Well, let's start with how your year started. You started the year over in New Zealand and racing midget cars, you know, over the holidays. And for anyone that's never done that, what is that experience like to go over to New Zealand and do that World Midget Car Series?
Oh, it's awesome. It's the atmosphere that those guys create and get over there with the amount of fans and how serious they take their speedway over there. It's a lot of fun and really unlike anything you see here in the States. I mean, I think opening night of the World Midget, the International Series, we'll see between 15 and 20,000 people depending on the year. And then they get about the same for the 50 lapper and then the last race we had over there probably had an even bigger crowd, because it was a midget race and a sprint car title race. So it's a lot of fun to go over there and it's a really neat environment and the fans are great and uh, what better to do in the off season than to go somewhere warm and race the midgets.
And if you were talking to another driver and they were interested in going to do that, or if they were going to go race Australia or whatnot, what advice would you give to them about what does a driver need to know when they go over there? Some things that they might, that you wish someone maybe have told you before you went over there. Just kind of nice to know things.
I don't know. I think, it's just a lot of fun. You know, it's, not very often do we get to go race and not have much pressure from, racing for national series points or this or that. And, it's just a lot of fun to go over there and race, for 4 or 5 times in a short amount of time. And, what they do over there, making it such a big event and, such a kind of a scene for those, international midget series races was, it's so cool. You just got to kind of go over there and have fun and, take it all in. It's, I've been the last 3 years and still go and usually do the same sightseeing stuff every year and have a ball. So, I think the biggest thing is taking it all in and, realizing how lucky you are to be over there and doing what we're doing, because it's such a fun time and, it's really, something that I can't see myself not doing every year, unless, there's some outside circumstance, but, it's such a great time over there and it keeps you sharp for Chili Bowl, keeps you ready. And it's definitely a learning tool too.
Now, one thing you have done kind of this winter, this spring, is you and Mike Martin hooked up, and you guys were on a tear. You've won with the USAC Southwest Series, the West Coast Series, and even picked up USAC CRA victories with Mike. And what's ironic, Mike actually beat you guys at the 360 at a national show at the end of last year, and then he turns around and gets you driving it, and then you guys have been on a real tear. How did you get together with Mike?
I always give Mike a hard time. I tell him the only reason he won that national race is because I flattened my left front on the start. Otherwise, I'd have had him. But Mike's an awesome guy. And, we had kind of been, flirting with getting hooked up there for a couple of years, and schedules just never quite fell right where, it made sense for me to come out. And, after he won that 410 race, I was looking for something for Western World, and he had a second car, and, we climbed in it and you obviously had a great week, at the end of last year in Western World and won, the prelim night and the finale and, just kind of took off from there. It's been a lot of fun. You know, Mike's not a big time car owner or really a car owner at all. He races to have fun and he does it himself. He just happened to have a spare car that, that he was kind enough to put me in we've had a lot of fun together and obviously, had a lot of success. So I was kind of kidding with him that car that, we ran all winter and, out in the winter challenge and, the CRA races out west I was going to have to, call Tony and tell him to get the checkbook out and get that thing for me for the national races, because it kind of turned into my favorite car there.
Is there something about that with drivers? Do you ever get a race car and just run it till it just run it into the ground? Because these things, I think with technology, they'd be able to reproduce them where they're relatively same, but it always seems like every now and then a driver ends up with a car they just love like that.
Yeah, it's... they've got the jigs and everything, to where they can make them very similar, but, each batch of tubing is different and, somebody different maybe welding it or this or that. So, every now and then you just get a car that you like. And, I had that, through the years when we had our sprint cars out of our own shop, I had one car that I kept for 4 or 5, it probably had 120, 130 races on it. And, but it just kept ticking, and I think I won 9 of my 12 races last year with it. So, on the sprint car side, so it's sometimes you run into that, and obviously that car out there was one that has been good to me, and I made sure that he wasn't going to sell it before Western World this year because I wanted to drive it again.
Now. And of course, with the USAC National Series, in the sprint cars and the Silver Crown, you're driving for Tony Stewart Racing this year. How did that conversation start? Because Levi obviously was driving for him, and now you're in that ride. Of course, you'll be teaming with Levi on the Silver Crown side. How did that all start, that conversation start of you going to drive there?
Uh, Well, just I guess it just kind of fell into my lap a little bit. You know, we've been working on doing our you know, getting our program revamped for 2013 to defend our championship, and you know, with all the same you know, car and crew and sponsors that we had in 2012. Everybody was excited after our championship year, and you know, just got the call one day at you know, there was this opportunity out there, and you know, as a competitor, and I guess a team owner, it was tough because I felt like you know, we had kind of built something from the ground up, and it was going to continue to get stronger, and you know, there was nothing I liked more than you know, going out there and trying to beat the 20 car every week, and but you know, as a driver, the what better opportunity you have than to step into the 20 car and you know, the legacy that it has and the tradition of winning it has in USAC. You know, I just couldn't pass up that opportunity to you know, be a part of that list and hopefully bring another championship home for TSR and Chevrolet Performance.
Now, how much did you talk to Levi before you decided that you were going to take it?
I didn't really talk to Levi much. I found out through the team that you know, he decided to not run, you know, not run full time, and you know, which you know, I thought coming off of you know, having to sit out the second half of last year, he at least you know, had another year or two left before he kind of scaled back. You know, I knew kind of what his situation was with you know, the store and things like that that you know, he had been talking about for a few years now. So I really thought he was going to come back for at least another year. So you know, thought never really crossed my mind that the seat would be open, but you know, it was, and you know, we're thankful for the opportunity, and hopefully we can continue the you know, the legacy of winning that you know, he left behind.
Now, one other aspect to this situation is when you go into that, you're attaching yourself to a name of a driver that's probably one of the most well-known race car drivers in the world. It brings a different kind of attention to yourself in that program. What is that like to do? I mean, because let's say you go to drive for someone who owns, you know, maybe a business that's not as visible. I mean, still a visible, you know, person you want to represent well. But I mean, you're almost representing an international brand. I mean, you've got Chevrolet involved and stuff. What is that microscope like? I mean, on the sprint car side of things, how much of that, you know, is it like being under a microscope almost?
Well, yeah, I mean, a little bit. And you know, luckily for me, I've had some opportunity to be involved in some, you know, large form of motorsports. So I understand what it's like to, you know, to represent brands, you know, like that. And, you know, I'm fortunate to be a part of the Chevy Performance and TSR family again. And, you know, it's tough, you know, as a race car driver, you know, there's times that, you know, you might want to lose your cool or do things that, you know, may not reflect so great on that brand, but, you got to remember you are a part of something bigger and you are a part of, you know, something far greater and larger than yourself. And you want to represent those brands proudly and, you know, make them proud to be a part of what you're doing. And, we feel like, you know, we try and do that each and every time we roll out on the racetrack.
And there's also advantages to this too. I mean, you also have probably the best of everything at your disposal.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, everybody kind of, you know, I think a lot of times it's overblown that, you know, that Tony spends millions and millions and millions of dollars on his USAC team or, you know, or his outlaw teams or, you know, we're definitely not hurting for, you know, for anything that we need. If he thinks we need it to win, that's what we have, but we also don't try to abuse that power either, in the standpoint that, you know, we don't try to overspend or do things that are unnecessary. But you know, he's a great guy to drive for. He's been in our position and he understands you know, what it takes to win in this sport. And you know, that's something we're happy to be a part of. And you know, something that we look forward to growing and being a larger part of as we kind of start this. I guess rebranding of the USAC side of TSR. You know, it was you know, Levi Jones for so long, and you know, coming in this year, it's a big shoe to fill, I guess. You know, for lack of a better way to put it, he's you know, obviously been one of the most successful, probably the most successful sprint car driver in the last decade, and You know, following him up is a tough job, but we feel like we're up to the task, and it's been neat with some of the things going on with NTSR, with bringing in Beast Chassis and Bob East and everybody on that side of things. TSR has kind of gone into this year with a little bit different identity than in years past.
And that's where I was going to go to next. You are running that Beast Dirt Sprint car. Bobby ran one towards the end of last year. We see one pop up here and there. You know, is that, you know, how has that been going so far? And what is that car like compared to what you've driven in the past?
Well, I think, you know, it's been great so far. Bob has obviously built a very fast race car and one that's been easy to work with so far. We've got, you know, we've only got four races under our belt, and each time out is kind of a learning process, and we continue to learn more and more about it each and every time out on the racetrack. And And you know, to this point, we've been quick. So I'm excited with you know, the way we started the season and the way the cars reacted and responded to you know, the changes we've made and the setups we've put underneath it. So I'm really excited about you know, kind of the room for progression and you know, how good we are right out of the gate. I feel like you know, we haven't even you know, we've just kind of got the tip of the potential of the race car. So we're excited about, you know, continuing to learn and fine-tune it, and excited to see where we'll be in a month from now.
And you still get to do some racing with your family with the midget car program this year.
Yeah, we're, you know, we're back in the 39 midget with my family, Corey Tucker, and Mike Kerb and Kerry Agajanian as the owners, and we're excited. It's, you know, the same basic team that, you know, same team that won the 2010-2011 national championship with, and it kind of stepped away last year as we kind of shifted our focus to the sprint car side of things. You know, as a small team, we just couldn't do both, so we kind of shifted the focus to the sprint car, and obviously that paid off for us as well. So we're gonna go back to the midget and you know, kind of reload and chase the national dirt championship on that side of things. And we're excited. Got off to a good start and went out west to the Copper on Dirt and won both nights out there. So it's good to be home.
And last year you got to do Indianapolis, and we were all very proud to see you at the Indianapolis 500. I didn't talk to a short track fan last year in all my travels that didn't have their eye on that throughout the month of May. And we're coming up around again. You were the National Driver of the Year last year. Is that opportunity still extended to you to be able to look for something there? What is the status on that?
Yeah, we're still kind of working. You know, I wouldn't say we're very far along. We're still kind of working at it, and I haven't given up yet. But you know, there's a you know, the offices at IndyCar look a lot different than they did a year ago, and as far as the people and personnel in there, and you know, so it's been a bit of a challenge working through the scholarship process and things like that. But we're still working hard and hope to, you know, try and get something put together. But at this point, we don't really have anything lined up for May just yet.
What's your longest lasting memory from that experience a year ago?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's you know, it's really tough to take it all in the first time around. You know, you're so in awe and so focused on trying to get through and get the most out of every day that it's hard to sit back and really take it all in. And you know, I got a it sounds like a quick little tangent, but I got a scrapbook from my girlfriend for Christmas of the month of May, and it was amazing to kind of flip through there and go, you know, remember some of those moments that you know, kind of fell from your memory, because they were small moments, but, you know, there's nothing like and nothing that will ever replace, you know, walking out on that stage on race day and looking around you and seeing, you know, hundreds of thousands of people standing and screaming and waving and things like that. And, you know, it's, there's nothing like it in all sports. I guarantee you that.
And to be in the driver's seat, we were all, just like I said, so proud of you. The short track community really rallied behind you that month.
Yeah, it was exciting. And obviously, in the end, was slightly disappointed that we didn't get a better run for the short track community. But I felt like we had a great month of May, and obviously, it kind of unraveled after the qualifying trash. But, you know, I was proud of our effort, you know, throughout the month and proud of how we showed and obviously wish we would have had a little bit better result. But, you know, that's why we run the races. That's why we, you know, practice doesn't pay that much and neither does qualifying. So, you know, that's why they run the races and you know, unfortunately it wasn't our year, but, you know, hopefully we'll continue to work hard to get back and was proud to represent the community and was really proud of the short track community for all the support that they showed. I tell you, you know, to walk out on a stage like that in the biggest race in the world and to have, you know, one of the three or four loudest cheers really shows, you know, that the short track community came out in full force to support the effort and something I'm proud and grateful for.
And once again, we were proud of that too. Now, let's just say that doesn't happen. There's another 500 lap race down the road. and we'd all like to see you in it. And there's some rumblings that might actually happen.
Yeah, we're, it's crossing our mind that if we don't get something put together for May, maybe try our hand at the little 500. It's something that I've always wanted to do and had never been able to do because of a conflict on the night before the 500 USAC midget race, but with no pavement ride this year. We're thinking about trying it and been tossing it around with a good friend of mine who's got a car and trying to piece together the team right now. And we'll see. I think we're a couple tire sponsors away from making it happen. So we're working on that and it'd be a lot of fun. We just want to get a good group together and go try it, you know, it's a race that has always been kind of a staple in Indiana and would love to add my name to that trophy.
All right. And of course you have Lawrenceburg coming up this weekend. What are your thoughts?
We're excited. Finally, kick off the national season. I felt like I was a little bummed we left Florida without the points lead because I felt like we were really kind of the dominant car down there all week and just qualified too good most nights. We starting six, it's tough to come from there and win these USAC shows. Although we were able to do it, come from second or the first night down there. But I was really proud of how our Chevrolet Performance Grid Records 20 was down there and feel like historically, you know, the 20 hasn't been that great down there. So to get off to a good start and head home right there in the thick of the points run is good. And feel like once we get home, we can put some points on the board and try and stretch this thing out.
Well, Brian, thank you for joining us tonight. We wish you the best of luck at Lawrenceburg and look forward to talking to you at Eldora here. Actually, no, the Midget Grand Prix. We'll actually see you there. So look forward to seeing you.
Perfect. Sounds great.
All right. That's Brian Fawson. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about the USAC Sprint Car Opener at Lawrenceburg. You're seeing PJSlideways.com live. Stay tuned.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstock, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartsCom. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Well, I know, you know, including my dad.
All right, we're back live on TJSlideways.com live, and we brought in a resident expert tonight for our USAC sprint car analysis. We joke that he is the mayor of USAC, and I've known this young man for since I could call him kid. So I'm glad to welcome our USAC resident expert, Kirk Spridgeron, to the show. Kirk, it's so glad to have you on here.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've talked via phone to TJ, going back to the olden days, I think, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, and you know, you're obviously over there at USAC, so it's time. It's this little stretch in April starting a really awesome time for the United States Auto Club. You've got the sprint cars coming back to kind of like the home base with Lawrenceburg this week, that Kokomo Midget Grand Prix, and just a really neat month of racing coming up.
Yeah, it's always, for me, it's the toughest stretch of the year to survive the, you know, month and a half or whatever between Florida and when things get going in Indiana. But you know, as I told everybody, once we get going, starting this Saturday at Lawrenceburg, we're, you know, pretty much full tilt until, you know, mid-October, and then we take a breath for a weekend, and then we go until Thanksgiving. So, you gotta be ready now because there's no time off.
And coming into this weekend, there's always that joke that you gotta buy a program to know who everyone is and the cars and the drivers. Well, that's really true this year. It seems like the USAC National Sprint Car Division, the music started playing, and when it shut off, everyone sat down in a different seat.
Yeah, and, you know, this year, obviously, more than any I can remember in all the years I've been around, and, you know, it's not just a change in, you know, who's driving what, but also kind of a change in the scenery of who can be the championship contenders. You know, obviously, last year was a little bit different just because of the injury to Levi, and on the heels of that, you know, kind of people went every different direction in the off season. So the look at the top, you know, even though Brian Clausen returns to defend the sprint car championship, you know, besides him, a lot of new faces and a lot of people, you know, who don't have a lot of experience, even though they have run the full schedule. So it's going to be interesting just to see. It's always interesting to see guys with the points on their mind and definitely how people, you know, race in new situations and the new car owners and crew chiefs and on and on.
One new combination that I'm kind of interested in is Kevin Thomas Jr. in that RW Motorsports car. There's experienced crew behind that team. There's a team that might be a new team, but yet there's personnel there that might be able to get a young driver like him into contention.
Yeah, that's obviously going to be one that everybody's got their eye on. KT, you know, really just came into his own last season, and you know, before last season, I mean, he'd hardly even made feature before. I mean, last year is the first time we ever saw him in the top 10 in USAC racing. So it was a big jump for him last year, but also a big, you know, change in how he conducted himself as far as the team goes. I mean, he was basically running the team on his own, and they hired Bubby Jones last year to basically set the car up. But obviously Bubby, you know, more of a guy who lends his knowledge more than anything else. So he had to take on a full plate last year with working on his own car and taking care of a USAC style program. And now this year he's got the one man band, as you might say, with Mike Dutcher, who has, you know, been a stout crew chief, you know, in non-link sprint car racing for a few years now. And obviously was the guy last year with Brian Clausen, and, you know, they were pretty much the fastest car on a regular basis in USAC last year.
Who else do you think are a couple of new combinations that fans should keep their eyes on, you know, going into the race this weekend at Lawrenceburg?
Well, obviously you have KT and you know, his combination with Mike Dutcher. Obviously they raced in Florida and also at Brownstown, and you know, they seem to be getting along pretty well, and you know, that's new chassis, new engine, new everything for KT there, and especially with the Charlie Fisher power, you know, is a bit of a difference for him. Obviously Brian Clausen, even though coming off the championship, he goes to Tony Stewart Racing, and it's not, you know, Levi's Tony Stewart Racing either. This is a new look for Tony Stewart Racing with some changing crew guys. The only face staying the same really in that sprint car operation is Brad Mariscotti. They started running a Beast chassis and brought Bob East along for basically to be the crew chief on that deal. So it'll be interesting to see how Brian and Bob work together. They seem to get along really well already, so that's a good start for them. And to be honest, I think, you know, the biggest threat to him in a new face is obviously Brady Bacon with Austin Auto Racing, and the combination that's really worked well before. It feels like they've been together forever, even though they've only run probably a handful of races. But it's a very comfortable situation, it seems like, for him. The cars that Brady's run on occasion without a wing the last few seasons. And obviously the Hoffmans go through this process every few years of when they hit that lull and don't win a lot of races or contend for a championship for a year or two, they always come back stronger than ever. So I would expect them to be a big threat for the championship.
So you have Lawrenceburg this week, but then we have something new and something really exciting for midget car racing. The United States Auto Club and Power Eye getting together for this Kokomo Midget Grand Prix, one of the best racetracks in the world. And we're going to see two nights of the best midget car competition anyone could ever hope to see. The two probably premier dirt organizations right now in the world going at it for a couple of nights. This is really going to be a neat deal.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's all due to the folks at Kokomo, you know, being willing to take chances. You know, last year, obviously, with the Sprint Car Smackdown being a first-year event, that was, you know, kind of something that we decided together that would be fun to try, and they really liked it. They got excited about it and did pretty well, and they wanted to try something else this year. So they wanted to try something big with the midgets, and, you know, the first thing that they, you know, brought up is, you know, will we get any support from outside Indiana? You know, is there a way to draw cars from outside of our region? And, you know, we said that, you know, the first thing that, you know, we'd like to do is if you're fine with it, let's invite, you know, everybody else to jump on board if they're interested. So we do have the co-sanction with Power Eye, and they're going to bring their micros too, and a lot of support from the ARDC bunch and some support from the Badger bunch. So it's really exciting. I mean, it's going to be, you know, a great field of midgets there, and I think the midget guys are showing some excitement for it. And the biggest thing for them is they, you know, they have to realize that if you want to have big races, you have to support the big races that are out there. And promoters like, you know, the O'Connors and Kokomo take a chance on a race. You have to step up and show that means something, because they're the type of promoter that isn't afraid to take on a big show like that. And, you know, this is the first go around, but, you know, it could be the first of many with them, you know, backing it up. So we know the racing will be really good. It always is at Kokomo, and it looks like the field is going to be really stout. So as long as we can get, you know, the weather to play right, and hopefully a bunch of people show up, and it'll be exactly what we're looking for.
And that goes for the fans too. I always joke on the fan side, if you want to see a race again, you better go to it, because if there's usually a reason a race doesn't show up, and either if a race disappears off a calendar, it's usually because the cars didn't show up or the fans didn't show up. So make sure to go and support that. You guys also have a busy April, but one of the other projects you guys have is kind of this rebranding, rebirth of Silver Crown. And last year wasn't, you know, probably the best year for Silver Crown racing. It struggled a bit in the car count and stuff, but this year it seems like there's a concerted effort by maybe teams, fans, USAC itself and stuff, to really maybe kickstart this division a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that, you know, the Silver Crown series has, you know, taken its blows in the last, you know, 6 to 8 seasons. And it, you know, it's a tough deal, because this isn't a series that, you know, can race anywhere else, or, you know, can race very many racetracks, to be honest. And it's always a struggle, you know, and it's always a money struggle to, you know, be able to put on these events and to find promoters who are willing to take on the risk. It's a big financial risk to take on a Silver Crown race, and it's always, you know, and, you know, uncertainty of how the fans will take to it. So the last few seasons, there have been, you know, some efforts to try to get some money put into the series, and some have worked a little bit and some have not gone over well at all. So the biggest thing is trying to get people back into the groove of racing the Silver Crown car, and because the cars are out there. The one nice thing about Silver Crown cars is they don't really get a lot of style. So you're seeing a lot of cars, especially on the dirt miles, that are not new at all. I mean, the cars have not changed a lot. So there are a lot of cars that are sitting around, and, you know, the goal is to find out, you know, what will get people back and what will get, you know, the interest up, and car owners bringing their cars back again, and, you know, figuring out a way to make that happen. So luckily, you know, the Silver Crown series has a really strong dirt promoter in Bob Sargent, and he takes on the bulk of the schedule himself. And obviously USAC promotes some of the Silver Crown races on our own, just because we believe in the series and want to see it do well. So that's a lot of the driving force behind trying to take it to new places this year. So it's a big year for Silver Crown. It's gonna, you know, it's kind of one of those years where a lot of guys, you know, said last year, made excuses, or you know, said they didn't want to race for a year, and so we'll see how this year goes, and hopefully guys will show, you know, their interest level, and that they have a lot of support for the Silver Crown series, and you're going to see it go to some new places this year and go back to some places that hasn't been in a while. So this year's a pretty true test of what the Silver Crown series has got. Our initial, you know, responses for, you know, Terre Haute, the Indiana State Fairgrounds are pretty positive, so we're looking for strong car counts to start the year. Obviously, we're not going to jump right back to where we were before, but I'm pretty confident we can get to the mid to high 20s right off the bat, and hopefully just you know, pick up a couple here and there beyond that, and get back to the, you know, 30 to 35, maybe even 40 car counts of days gone by that aren't that long ago, but, you know, it's taken so many hits, it's going to be tough to get back there.
And, you know, I'm glad to hear that there might be enough positivity to get into that. I think if you're in that mid-20 range, it'll be a great kickstart for the series. You gotta kind of get back up to a certain plateau. I think that's a pretty reasonable number.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously what we're shooting for off the bat. And, you know, we've had quite a few guys jump right back in. And you know, the thing is, we finished the year at Terre Haute and didn't have the cars, but still had a great race. It's obvious that the cars, you know, still produce some great racing, and it's a series that has a, you know, great pool of talent. You know, I mean, it's always had some of the best drivers in the world in it. So, you know, we're positive and we're looking forward to, you know, guys jumping back in the series and trying to get some of the younger talent moved in Silver Crown. And obviously continuing to have a lot of the biggest names in open wheel racing involved in Silver Crown. And hopefully we can start off, you know, with a bang at Terre Haute and have our field of, you know, mid-20s and have a great race like we did last fall and, you know, try to move forward from there.
And a lot of people don't realize, people like you over there, and you guys all love this stuff. You want to see this succeed because you love this just stuff just as much as the people putting the cars together and the people writing about it and the people paying to go see the races. I mean, you guys are just as passionate or more than any of those people about it.
Well, I mean, that's the good thing is, you know, we've had some really great times the last few years, and we've had some really tough days and tough races too. And luckily, you know, they're you know, there's a group of us there that, you know, we live for it. And I mean, that's all we do. And, you know, it can be a grueling schedule at times. I mean, it's a, like I said, it's a, you know, 9 to 10 month a year series. And you know, people don't realize sometimes how busy it can be, especially with the amount of races that we have. But, you know, it's a bunch of guys that really love it. And even our race to race, workers who just help out are a very passionate, fun group of people. You know, I think one thing that people have said to us a lot over the last year or two, you know, a lot of those race-to-race workers are people that they've come to like a lot. And then obviously the two people that hit the most national races the last few years have been myself and Jason McCord. And obviously Jason, a former competitor, and they've been at it for a long time. And he especially has a passion for Silver Crown racing. And he's been right in the middle of trying to find a way to get it going back the right direction. And that's a guy that, you know, raced in the Silver Crown series, won in the Silver Crown series. And, we're fans in a way, but, you know, we want to get, you know, down in the middle of it and figure out a way to move things forward. So, you know, we've seen really a lot of growth in the sprint car side of things. Things have been going really well the last few years. Obviously, the midget side has kind of plateaued off. It showed, you know, some signs of falling off a few years ago, but now it's, you know, kind of plateaued off and things seem to be going pretty well. And then, you know, the Silver Crown series, I think, is, you know, as long as you don't have any other major setbacks that, you know, aren't the fault of the car whatsoever, I think, you know, things are going to go in the right direction there too. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how this year can go without any, you know, any outside influences, anything crazy coming in and messing with things that can go pretty well on their own.
Well, we're glad that you took the time out to join us, Kurt, and we look forward to seeing you here. Have a safe trip down to Lawrenceburg this week. Look forward to seeing you at the Midget Grand Prix, and we'll talk to you again later this summer and get a feel of how things are going on in the USAC scene.
Sounds good. Really looking forward to getting it going, and as always, you know, going to see the best races in the world.
I agree. So, Kirschberger from the United States Auto Club. It's so crazy to say that. This is a kid I saw riding a bike around Terre Haute, and now he works for USAC. But it couldn't be in better hands. He's a great employee there. You're not going to find anyone that has more passion than Kurt does for the United States Auto Club. So when we return, we're going to wrap up our Attica Raceway Park trip. You're listening to TJSlideways.com here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Stay tuned.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Welcome back to TJSideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. For sprint car fans, you can catch live video and audio webcasts of the Sprints on Dirt Michigan traditional sprint car events from the Crystal Motor Speedway throughout the 2013 season. Of course, we're going to kick things off with that live coverage on April the 27th at the Crystal Motor Speedway, the Sprints on Dirt opener. Of course, don't forget Labor Day Sunday. You can catch the Michigan Traditional Sprints, an NRA SOD co-sanctioned event on June 20th, the traditional SOD date, Labor Day, August 31st, and then the Great Lakes Nationals, September 13th and 14th, all live on racesontheweb.com. Video and audio for that, so you can catch both at the racetrack, you know, so you can check out and keep up on Crystal Motor Speedway there. They're the ones that provide our live stream. They do a great job. This week's Bailey Racing Engines road trip. Of course, Bailey Racing Engines out of Coldwater, Michigan, one of our great supporters, went to Attica Raceway Park for the Spring Nationals, and it wasn't nearly as cold as what we expected it to be. We had a few different faces that we were able to catch up with, one of which was Brady Bacon. Brady is going to be doing some more wing sprint car racing in addition to his USAC sprint car duties, and this is what Brady had to say about his upcoming season. Brady Bacon making his first appearance at Attica Raceway. Brady Bacon making his first appearance at Attica Raceway Park. Brady, welcome here. What is your first impression pulling into the place?
Oh, it's a good track. It's got a nice shape to it, so you know, don't really know what to expect other than stuff I've heard, and you know how that goes. You never can trust what you hear. You just gotta do it and see how it goes. So I think we drew good, and just gonna have to see how it goes. We're gonna be running around here quite a bit this year, so looking forward to it.
I was going to say, you have the full Hoffman car schedule with the USAC series. But how much wing 410 racing are we going to see you doing this year?
About 30 races. We're going to do the 360 Nationals, 410 Nationals, probably about 10 to 15 All-Star shows, and about 10 to 15 Outlaw shows, you know, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio and stuff. So looking forward to switching it up a little bit and racing some more 410 stuff.
How does it feel to be back in the Midwest?
No, it feels good. You know, it hasn't really got really started heavy, but a little cold for me still yet here. So not used to seeing snow on the ground in March still. But, it'll warm up here before long. We'll start racing all the time, and then I'll have a smile on my face.
Now, when you come to a place like this where you've never been to here before, who do you look for any resources on what to expect, or who do you talk to?
A dirt track, so you kind of go pretty close to the same package everywhere. So, I've talked to some people about gears and stuff, and Anthony Knighton's helping me out this weekend, and he's been here a few times. So we should be close, just have to fine-tune it once we get out there and see how it goes.
All right, thanks, Brady.
Yep.
And, of course, that was Brady Bacon. Brady had kind of a tough night, but I'm sure he'll catch on to that quick over there. He's a very talented race car driver, and I hope he doesn't shy away from going over there. That's a good place to not shy away from. There's so many good racers that come out of that Fremont Attica circuit, And he is a great addition to Saturday's program, and he plans on doing some more winged racing along with his Hoffman duties, so that should be fun for sprint car fans of all varieties. And we also got to talk to Phil Gressman. Phil picking up a new ride this season in the 97 car, the Stealing-owned machine that Dean Jacobs drove last year, and here's what Phil had to say about his ride and his plans for the 2013 season.
We're talking to Phil Gressman. Phil, you got a brand new ride tonight. How did the deal come together with the Stealing team?
Joe gave me a call here a couple months back, and we just started talking, and we got things ironed out, and I was glad to come aboard. And I'd raced for Joe and Diane before, a couple races here and there, and we had some fun, so we thought we'd try it again.
And what's the plan for 2013 with you guys?
Most of the stuff we'll do is just the All-Star stuff, some Outlaw stuff, and not much or any local stuff. If we do, it just be by accident only because I'm maybe driving them crazy to go racing.
So you're going to be traveling a bit. You know, it came together kind of quick. And what kind of challenges do you run into when you have a program come together late?
Other than just trying to get things situated between me and them and getting to know each other a little bit with the new mechanics or whatever. And, new situation, and I've said for a long time, when you change cars and you go with new car owners, it's kind of put out or get out, and results mean everything. So it's strictly business, and we get to start here today at Attica and look forward to the summer.
All right, and that's Phil Gressman. So that'll be interesting to see them traveling with that Stealing car. They've got a beautiful outfit, a new hauler and everything. It looks great. And, you know, they didn't have the best start to Attica probably, but I think they'll be a contender as they go on. And one other person we had to talk to was Brian Sabido. Sabido back with the Hammer team for 2013 and, of course, coming off his Chili Bowl ride and looking forward for a big season. Here's what Brian had to say.
Brian Sabido making his first start this season. Brian, what are your plans this year with the Hammer team?
We're going to follow the Ohio region, the All-Star deal, and then other than that, we're just going to kind of jump around, run some Outlaw stuff, just kind of hit and miss whatever. We're not going to follow any series other than the All-Star deal.
Stay busy this winter?
Not working. That's about it. Not really. Pretty boring winter. I'm ready to get back in. I got to go to the Chili Bowl, which was fun. So, you know, I got to do a little bit of racing in the off season, some go-kart stuff indoors early in the winter. But, yeah, other than that, just kind of hung out with my boy.
That's about it. Now, if you had to explain to someone what the atmosphere is like in a week-in and week-out basis at Attica and Fremont, the sprint car scene here, how would you describe it?
I want to say not really hectic, but you got to be on your toes all night because this isn't an easy group of cars to race with. You know, there's really good competition around here, and you come in here and you know you got, you know, 10 quality race cars that you're going to have to really race hard with to try and get a win.
Any big changes for this year?
Not really. Same. We got a new motor built over the winter by Scott Gressman, and pretty pumped about. We got it in the night. Pretty pumped about getting out there and seeing what it'll do. Other than that, same cars. We stayed with Maxims again, and pretty much same deal.
Did you think Monday or Tuesday we'd be racing tonight?
Not with all the snow on the ground. I thought, man, not again. I'm just ready to go racing. I want to go, and then. I'm pretty disappointed they didn't try a little harder to get last night, and I think we could have raced. It's pretty dry here, and I don't see how it could have been so wet last in 24 hours ago that we couldn't have raced. But I'm glad we're getting it in tonight, and excited, and hopefully get a podium finish tonight.
All right, and that was Brian Sabido. And, of course, it was a great show down there. Dale Blaney getting the win, but Sheldon Honschild coming from, you know, about, you know, fourth, fifth row or so, right in the top of the racetrack, put on a show trying to catch Dale Blaney. And I think even George Fisher told Dale he might have been in trouble if those cautions hadn't come out. But they had a caution and, of course, an open red. It was getting close to fuel stop time, and that open red happened, and George Fisher worked his magic. And does anyone have more fun right now winning and racing than George Fisher and Dale Blaney? I mean, seeing Dale Blaney now at the racetrack compared to Dale Blaney 10 and even 15 years ago at the racetrack, night and day difference. It is the fun and the smile and the just energy those two have is almost infectious. I mean, I was standing there just before the driver's meeting by the pit tower at Attica, and Dale is as relaxed and just having as much fun as I've ever seen him in his career. And we were able to catch up with Sheldon Honchild, and we were able to catch up with Dale Blaney in victory lane. I apologize, wasn't able to catch Randy Hannigan, but we'll have Hannigan on later in the year. But here's what Sheldon and Blaney had to say after the feature event Saturday night at Attica.
Okay. So, Sheldon, nice run tonight here at Attica. Run on the top, just couldn't quite get Blaney.
Yeah, I had a good car all night with Ripper setting it up, and Blaney was good. I had to come from the back, and he got me on that last restart. I couldn't really make a move on him, but happy with second.
Real learning experience tonight. What did you find up there at the top? Was that your plan all along?
No, actually, I kind of thought we were all going to be around the bottom, but then I seen everyone was down there, so I had to try something. So started running the top, and it was working pretty good, getting by some people, so I just stayed up there.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dale, congratulations tonight. The brothers pull up a double dip.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't know if we probably won a race before when he was running the Outlaws and I was with the All-Stars, but yeah, it was cool to see him win, and I guess it was too bad it wasn't a truck race, and Ryan might have had a shot, but overall, great night for us.
Of course, you said you didn't want to lead early in this one.
Well, I don't know. This place changes so much during a race, and I knew Cap wanted to get going, and it wasn't like I wanted him to lead, but he took off, and it worked out okay. We got going a little bit better in the middle of the race there, and I was struggling there before that red, but we got it fixed up under the red in 7 laps. I was able to get it back.
All right, a great way to start your All-Star season.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
And Dale, of course, it's Easter weekend. We had to get home and for family stuff. And normally I'd go grab those interviews in the pits afterwards. Late model features rolling out. And Dale was more than gracious to catch that feature, catch that interview quickly before he went to the pit area. So thank him for that. And one more thing, a couple things from Attica leftovers. Seeing Jamie Barnes, the Northwest driver with the Midwest team, Destiny Motorsports, show up. That was really cool. Even after the rain out, they could have stayed home, you know, pretty easily with the shaky weather. They came up. Barnes was impressive. Looked great in his heat race. Had some moments during the feature. He looked really good, and hopefully that's someone we maybe will get to see once or twice more this year. Also, you have to feel for Cap Henry. The past couple of years, he's led features and just been so close to that first All-Star win. Just got held up in lap traffic, and of course, if you do that with someone like Dale Blaney, it's game over. And unfortunately, tangled with a lap car and later got upside down. Got tangled up to cause a caution before that, and Henry's one of those kids that I think once he gets everything figured out within the race, once he gets that first All-Star victory on under his belt, it's going to be kind of like the Chase Stockton thing, where Stockton went and he didn't win, and then he got one, and then all of a sudden he has like 3 or 4 in a row, and I could see Henry doing that. It's going to be something to kind of keep an eye on throughout the year. So a great trip to Attica, like I said. Look forward to maybe trying to get there again in the year, and it's still my favorite sprint car scene. I love going to the Fremont Attica scene. I know if you're there week in and week out, you probably get tired of it, and it's just like anything else. It's like around here. If I go to the same racetrack every single week, I'm probably going to get tired of it. You can only eat steak so many times in a row before steak doesn't start tasting good, but whenever I go down there, it's just amazing, the community support and everything that happens down there. And if you're in that area, you should feel blessed to be able to have that. Even if you venture out and you go out on the road and you race and you go race and you see races in other places, feel lucky that when you come home, you have 2 quality racetracks that pay quality purses and put on quality programs every Friday and Saturday night. So don't lose sight of that, because there's a lot of people in the country that would trade places with you in a heartbeat to have half of what you have down there at Attica and Fremont. Well, that wraps up this edition of TJSlideways.com Live. And of course, not next week, but the week after, we're going to be at the Kokomo Midget Grand Prix Friday and Saturday. Hopefully we'll have everything in line to do our new post-race podcast. Some of those interviews that you heard tonight, had it not been Easter weekend, would have been part of something new we're going to try this year. We're going to try podcasting after the races, some quick interviews and stuff, and hopefully you'll enjoy that. But thanks for your support of the live show and the podcast. We look forward to doing this again next Monday night at 8 o'clock on racesontheweb.com and throughout the season. So have safe travels to the races, and we will see you down the road. Good night.